Blog Talk Radio.
So, Gavin, you're noticing the live, right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Devon, are you able to call in?
So, who was the leader behind the family mastermind, organizing the family mastermind? Was that Kendi or was that Sadiq?
That's Kendi.
Kendi, okay. I may throw to you first then.
Okay. All right, everybody.
Hello, hello, and good morning. Welcome to the International Mastermind Think and Grow Rich Show. My name is Galen Bingham. I'm the leadership strategist, but I am one of the co-hosts in today's conversation where we gather together and we talk about the 13 principles for Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. This is a classic book that we love getting together and talking about. And then every week, we love getting together with others who are well on this path, well on this journey, and hear about their progress, their insights, and their walk through this book. And today is one of my firsts, anyway. This is the first time I've ever been a part of the show, but we've had an entire family mastermind group join us. Usually it's individuals, and each of these members have been part of the show individually, but they are coming together and they're going to discuss how they mastermind together as a family. And we are talking about chapter one, the first principle of the book, and this is the chapter on desire. And this is, as Napoleon Hill says, desire is different than wishing for something. Because we all wish for things. We all wish for riches. We all want and hope for things. But this is not about hoping or wishing. This is about having a burning desire. And there's actually six steps that he takes us through that he says that you have to execute against in order to turn your wish into a burning desire. And so we'll get into that. We'll get into that throughout the show. But this is going to be a fantastic opportunity to really get insight as to what masterminding actually looks like. And so with that, I want to welcome in our guest. This is the Wafami, and I hope I'm saying that right, mastermind group. I want to introduce everyone individually, but I understand that the mastermind behind this mastermind is Kendi Ward. So, Kendi, would love to bring you into the show, welcome you, tell a little bit about who you are, and then we're going to introduce your fellow family members, but also your fellow mastermind members as well. So, Kendi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Galen. Good morning. Kendi Ward, I've been masterminding since a long time, probably since 2002, and it's so ironic that the chapter that we'll be discussing is desire, because once I started masterminding and saw that the impact that it had on my life, I wanted my family to become involved in masterminding, and I had a burning desire, and I kept hounding them about starting a mastermind group, and they refused me repeatedly. But that was not a deterrent. I just voted as a family goal. It just became one of my goals in the mastermind process. And then finally, as Ann said, I wore them down and they relented and we started masterminding as a family. But as far as Think and Grow Rich, all of us, the Think and Grow Rich by my mom, as teenagers. So Denise is my sister, Quincy is my brother. So we had already read Think and Grow Rich by Trippery, from my mom. So we had already been introduced to the principles of thinking we're rich, but not the process of masterminding. So we started masterminding as a family in 2008, and we've been masterminding ever since. So.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. There always is one in the family that's the ringleader, and I can definitely see similarities to my sister and my physical family, so I can identify. So, Denise Portier, tell us a little bit about you and your introduction to this whole family masterminding process. How are things going, and how did you get into this?
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name, like Gavin said, is Denise Poitier. And as Kimberly said, she wore us down. I don't really think that we didn't want a mastermind. I think we were just tired of Kimberly bossing us around, and so we had a bit of resistance. But I'm very happy that she was very persistent, and we started masterminding. As for me, with mastermind, it helped me achieve one of my biggest goals. And she said, we started in 2008, and that was right when I was on the brink of saying that, you know, I don't want to work for anyone. So I wrote that down. I said, I am going to be working for myself by the age of 35. And I knocked that out about 5 years ahead of time. So, Kimberly, I'm going to give you some credit for that, because if it wasn't for Mastermind, I probably wouldn't even have the free time to be on this show this morning. So thank you, Kimberly. Thank you, Ms. Ann, for introducing Kimberly to Mastermind.
Ah, fantastic. We're going to absolutely get into that story. So thank you for that. And then Quincy Ward, part of the family, part of the Mastermind group. You know, as I said earlier, I've got a sister. I know how demanding and persistent sisters can be. How did you finally wear yourself down and relent and join this mastermind process?
Good morning, everyone. So I remember when Kendi first wanted us to start the mastermind group, and yes, everybody was kind of, you know, hesitant. And for me, I guess I was the longest holdout, because I actually missed quite a few of the first meetings. At the time, I was in college, undergrad, and I worked the night shift. So I'd get to bed like 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and they met at 7 a.m. or 7:30 a.m. Eastern. And I'm in Arkansas, I'm in Northwest Arkansas, I'm at Central Time. So a lot of times I didn't wake up, I didn't hear my alarm, and I'd miss the entire meeting, and then everybody would be like, what happened? So, you know, eventually I started, it's like I made it a priority. And now, especially like, you know, this is years later, since we've been doing it, I think 12 years, just following the principles and actually, you know, applying what we're reading has helped me tremendously, especially even in the past year with everything being so different, like just writing down my goals and following through has helped me tremendously. And Kendi actually was my accountability partner for the past 2 years. So she would randomly send me a message every now and again asking me about certain things, and I'd be like, well, I guess I gotta have something prepared. Kendi's gonna ask. I gotta be ready, because, you know, she's the boss.
fantastic. And so you're in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and we were connecting about our Arkansas roots and Arkansas connections, and I see that Ron Williams has joined in the Zoom session, and he's an Arkansas dude as well. So I wanted to bring in my co-host, the mastermind behind this entire process, Ms. Ann McNeil. So, Ms. Ann, we've heard your name a couple of times already, and would love for you to just kind of introduce yourself. You come into the conversation, and then also talk about these 13 principles. You can kind of weave that into the conversation, because this chapter on desire, although it could be a standalone conversation, it sits actually at the beginning, at the foundation of the entire Napoleon Hill success process and formula. So I can't think of a better person to introduce that to us than you, Ms. Ann.
Well, thank you, Galen, and I'm very excited for really, Kendi, I want to read some words prior to doing that, if it's okay with you, that Kendi shared, of course, in the book on how to start and run an effective mastermind group. Thank you so very much, Kendi, for this testimonial. But if that's okay with you, Galen, I'd like to share her words to everyone so that we can have a kickoff perspective here. Kendi says, at one of the testimonials in this book on page 22, she says, one of my family goals was to start a mastermind group with my family. I would suggest it and they would ignore me. Finally, I guess, the light bulb went off in their heads simultaneously, and they were ready to mastermind. We started the Wafami Mastermind in 2008, and we have been masterminding as a family ever since. My sister and brother have gotten married, and their spouses now mastermind too. Soon enough, my nieces and nephew will be masterminding also. There are two and three now. That was at the writing of this book, because now there were three and four, or four and five.
Six, five, and four
now. So we'll give them a year or two.
They started
masterminding. Okay, this is an update. Masterminding has taught me how to set goals, focus on them, and systematically track my progress. It helps me to see when I'm slacking, if something is really a goal. I am thankful. Well, okay, I'll read that part too. I am thankful that Ann introduced me to masterminding. It will definitely improve your life, and I'm going to add your family. And I wanted to read that because this episode is focused on the family. And when you think about the principles, and Kendi said something that was so powerful. She said, my mom, you know, tricked us into reading the book. But through the International Mastermind Association, Kendi has learned how to mastermind the principles of the book. And I want to say, and Kendi, that jumps out at me as an aha moment as we talk about the 13 principles, because principles alone, just like faith alone, just like action alone, means very little if it's not focused on a desire, right? Desire being the beginning of the chapter, and we're going to bring up the 13 principles of success as a spouse by Napoleon Hill. So we'll go ahead and we'll play that that video, and then we'll come back and talk about, of course, my name is Angela, and I am the master builder, so thank you for that. Thank you, Laverne. So if everybody would just give us a minute, we'll go ahead and play these 13 principles to give you a greater depth into 2021 and what we will be discussing every month, a different principle. Starting with the principle of desire and the month of January 2021. All right, we're ready.
Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill said that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what we call auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds, will receive everything automatically, but we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because those positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people. Step number five is imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to take a look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought. We go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number 7 is decision. What Napoleon Hill said is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill said that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step 8 is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books I love, even the title, 3 Feet from Gold. Those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter or had better information than anyone else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number 8. Step number 9, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody has someone who helped them get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us. Use the thoughts. Use the knowledge. Use the exploration of other people to help us in achieving our goal. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical, but what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spend quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of step 10, which is sex transmutation. Step number 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting leap between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spend some time talking about how we use that through the influence of autosuggestion and what we're feeding into our mind. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought. Final step number 13, the sixth sense, the door to the temple of wisdom. This is the final step through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demands by the individual. The principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles.
Okay, all right, so we're back. So that was kind of the full overview of all the steps of the process, and you see why everyone gets so excited when we're on the show talking about at least one element of it. Today, we're talking about desire, and we've got the Waffle Me Family Mastermind Group. And, I want to go back to, let's jump in. I want to go back to Kendi, because one of the things that we heard in the testimony that you shared with, that Ann shared earlier, is that you had a desire to mastermind the family. So tell me a little bit about that. What was it that you were hoping to achieve with masterminding with your family as opposed to any other random group of people that you could have gone through this process with and gotten benefit from? You wanted to do this with your family. Tell me more about why.
So like I said earlier, once I saw the results of masterminding in my personal life, I wanted this to be something that my family also could benefit from, but not just as individuals, but also as a family. So the way that our family mastermind works is that we have individual personal goals that we set, and we have family goals that we set. And as a family, we set goals in 5 areas of our lives. So we set spiritual goals as a family. We set recreational goals as a family. We set civic goals as a family. We set business goals as a family. And we set financial goals as a family. So that was the main part of it, because we could do it individually, but I wanted us to concentrate on those five areas as a family and reach those goals as a family. So that was really the driver behind it, that we could, it was so much more that we could do together if we mastermind together and had that synergy together to accomplish the things that we wanted to accomplish as a family. So that's basically the thought process behind it.
Okay, all right. And so Denise, I mean, you know, tell me about those early times when, you know, she's coming to you with this crazy idea. It must have sounded crazy, about this book that you maybe read a while ago, but she's pretty emphatic. She's pretty passionate. Again, I'm reflecting some of the attributes from my own sister on what that must have been like. How did that go, and what were some of the things that you started to see initially from the mastermind process once you began as a family mastermind group?
Well, before we started, you know, she came and she's like, we're going to mastermind. But I think for me, the time, like Lindsay said, it was early. Nobody wants to get up early to talk business. Like, are you serious? And she loves to wake up early. Even now, I'm like, no. But I think what got our attention was when she compared mastermind, as she said, one of our goals is recreation. And even before we started masterminding, our father would have meetings for vacation. So when she was able to compare those, she's like, but we already do it. Because when it's time for vacation, we meet and we plan, and we discuss, and we come up with a goal, and then we do it. And then everybody was like, So she got us there with vacation. And then she said, oh, well, you know, we pray and we have family devotion, so we could add that. And so she kind of just weaved it in. And, you know, we should start saving because we need to save to pay for the vacation because Daddy isn't paying for us anymore. And before you know it, we had our goal, and we were masterminding every week, and we still are.
So it sounds like you still haven't agreed. You're doing it.
you're willing participants now, because now they apply the principles to their own lives, and they have their personal goals that they, you know, mastermind and set their goals for.
Fantastic. Okay, and Quincy, tell me a little bit about, again, we're talking specifically about desire, but what are some examples of some personal desires that you've seen actually come into fruition because of this mastermind process with your family, no doubt? I mean, it's kind of hard. It's easy to kind of fake out random people that you just happen to meet, but it's kind of hard to pull things over on your family. What are some personal wins or desires that you've seen come about because of this mastermind process with your family?
Oh, thanks, Galen, for the question. So we started with just our family, and now I have a wife and two kids. So we started making goals of our own. And one of the things that, like, with desire is the fact that you have to envision and see yourself having what you're looking for. And so last year, well, actually the year before, 2019, we were making our 2020 goals. We made a vision board. And that's something that, you know, I did years ago, and then I actually didn't do it again. I started just making, like, a Word document with pictures. I didn't make a physical vision board to stick it up on the wall. But in November 2019, my wife and I made a vision board for 2020. And we went to magazines. We cut out the pictures, stuck it up there in our closet. And so that way we couldn't miss it. And sure enough, the things that were on there, we started to see. Like, for example, I wanted to lose weight. I was overweight by a lot. And so we put a picture on there of people exercising. Just a picture of people having fun exercising and looking healthy. And sure enough, I have had a dramatic weight loss in that time. And it didn't even feel like I was trying. it was just in my mind that just I gotta walk, I gotta do some physical activities here and there, I gotta eat better. It just started happening, and I would see that picture every day of this family out. They're actually on the beach laughing and exercising together. Another thing on there is another thing I did besides the vision board is like my dad, he retired and he plays golf and he's really good at it. And I'm not the best at it because I didn't practice as much as him. Because he's going every week with my sister and mother-in-law. And I just would be like, I don't have the time to go. But what I did was I got the golf clubs and I put them in the garage right in front of where I parked. So I would see those golf clubs every single day. In my mind, I was like, I got to make it out. Go at least to the driving range or something just so I can be able to keep up whenever I get together with them again. And just by seeing that, I put it right there. So every morning I go to the car, I see those clubs. And I go out. I made it out more than a little. So those are just some small examples. But I guess there's a few examples that I just recently encountered from desire.
Gotcha. Well, Brad, I want to bring Ann back into the conversation. Before I do, Quincy, I got one more question I have to ask. Because it's one thing to do something because your siblings are just like pestering you and on you about doing it. It's another thing to convince your wife and your family to do something because your brothers and sisters or your siblings might be on you about it. How in the world do you convince your family? Oh, so, Denise, you got something to add to that. But how do you convince your family to do something because your siblings are telling you that you need to do it?
Well, actually, for my husband, that was a pretty breakfast and spaghetti kind of thing. You know, when I knew that this was going to happen, I said, oh, I need you to come to a meeting at my house. And he looked at me, and he was like, okay. And so he came, and Kendi and Quincy, they were at the bottom of the table with this guy because they had never met him. They didn't actually meet him until after we got married. And then looking all crazy. And then after his first meeting, I made him make a vision board because I needed to see where his focus was. And so after he passed those two tests, well, on his way, and he has been masterminding.
Wow. Okay. I can't imagine, but it sounds effective. Sounds effective.
Very effective. 6 years later.
There you go. That's it. Quincy, thoughts? How do you? I mean, was this a prerequisite to you getting married as well?
No, it wasn't. So for me, it was a little different. I actually used. I guess I didn't even realize. It's the Kendi strategy. We wanted to go on a trip, and we made goals. How we can go on this trip. We wrote it down. We wrote how we're going to make the extra money, how we're going to pay for it, and all of that. And once we saw how effective we were doing it that way, and it made everything make sense. So then when we were having our first child, we did the same thing. We were like, how are we going to need a bigger place to live? We're going to need all this stuff. And we wrote down everything we needed before our person Island got here, and then it worked. So once we saw that, we realized we can apply this to other things, and that's how she got involved.
Yeah. All right. Well, Miss Ann, you know, this is a product of your persistence. What questions do you have?
First of all, David, I have to say that I am responding by saying that I'm proud of you. Birthing another desire, if you will. I, Kendi and Denise and brother, I am literally very, I'm lost. Tell them I'm lost for words. I am lost for words because this is really the epitome by the Board of the Nation's International Investment Association Journal on the month of January, Kicking Off Desire. This is why we're focusing all of 2021 on families, because there are lots of families that mastermind and really don't really know that by adding this philosophy and these principles to how they mastermind, that they can achieve any desired goal for themselves individually, but also and also personally. But I think that Kendi said something that was so powerful when she said, I did it first myself. And I saw the success that I was having. Now, what Kendi didn't get a chance to say, because that's another mastermind session for the day, is we also mastermind everyone. We did it on work together. And so when you think about all the different areas of your life being able to principle mastermind, but also the process that we created and continue to create as a part of the International Mastermind Association on how we mastermind based upon we heard the 13 principles. What we didn't hear were the 10 areas in which we mastermind. That first area, naturally, Kendi mentioned it, because they only do five, but there are five others. And those areas are spiritual, their family, financial, their education, their health, the personal development, recreation, creativity, fitness, and also your business, your career. And when you think about masterminding with yourself, small group of individuals, your company or your job, your family, in those areas and choosing which one are most important to you, how can you, this a goal you can see and you have a group of individuals who are holding you accountable. But my question can be to all of you as a family, if you would not mind sharing your family mission statement, because I think that that's a driver, that's number one. And also if you can tell everyone the meaning of the word for family and how you chose.
I'm going to ask you for your mission statement. And well, family is just word, family is just shortened. It's the first two letters of word and then the first four letters of family. So that's what it means.
Perfect. Thank you. And while she's doing that, can you tell us the value of having an individual mission statement and a family mission statement? It doesn't matter.
It does matter. Regarding the family mission statement, it's really, I think, perpetually sets the tone of what you want for your family because you're passing it, you know, down. Not our mission statement, but like kind of our, what do you call that? Our motto, thank you, sister. Our motto is building a legacy to leave an inheritance. And I think that's part of building a legacy, creating that family mission statement that we can, and really so that they can know who they are as, you know, as individuals, but also where they came from as a family. So that's why I think that that's important. And then individually having a mission statement, it's the same thing. It focuses you, and it's something that you can go back to. And when you're doing things or setting goals that are not fitting into that mission, then you know that that's not something that you need to be doing. When people enter your lives relationally and they're not fitting into that mission, then you know that that's not, you know, a relationship that you should be pursuing. So I think that it helps you to stay focused and minimalize on a lot of setbacks if you have something to go back to. So anyway, Sinead found a mission statement. And our mission statement is to build a legacy to leave an inheritance by creating successful business models in hospitality, technology, agriculture, and entertainment for the improvement of lives.
I love it. So I'm curious, Kendi, you know, obviously we see the result and the product of a lot of your leadership with bringing this into your family. I'm curious, what was your all-in moment? There has to have been something that you experienced when you were doing this on your own as part of work or as part of and where you thought, oh, my gosh, this thing isn't as woo-woo as it sounded originally, this really works. I need to bring this to my family because this is the secret sauce. What was that all in on?
So like Anne said, we mastermind in 10 areas of our lives. I think when we started, it might have been 7, it wasn't 10 at that time. But as I strive to make those spiritual goals, I think that was the greatest area of impact for me. I'm a very spiritually sweet person. I'm a minister at my church. I wasn't at the time. But when I started to see, you know, things that I set goals to pray daily, to study the Bible, to fast. And, you know, when you write those goals down with an action plan, not just to say, you know, you have it like kind of vaguely in your head, yeah, I'm going to pray or I'm going to read through the Bible or whatever and not have a plan with it. When you start to develop the plan and then you have people to hold you accountable to the plan that you made, then you start to see that progress of accomplishing, you know, those goals. And so for me, it was the spiritual goals. Also, I'm an author. I was first published in, I've always wrote, but I started writing in 1999. It was published in 2001. I got a book deal in 2001, but it didn't happen. I got a 3-book deal with DC Books that didn't happen. And so I started, I put it on the shelf, but I didn't want to write anymore. Because after I kept submitting manuscripts and I kept getting rejection letters, so I just kind of put it on the shelf, and Mastermind made me refocus on, you know, not just the goal of writing, but the gift. That is a gift, and you can't sit on the gift. You can't bury your talents. You know, in the Bible, the guy that buried his talents, that God didn't just say, hey, you didn't bury you bury your talents. He cast them into outer darkness. You know, that's what happens when you don't use your gift. So that made me refocus. You need to use your gift and start to make that goal to publish. Okay, I got to write this book. I got, you know, and to start to do that. And then, anyway, so then I did self-publish. I became self-published. That was one of my goals that came out of Mastermind. And so when I started to see those successes in my life because of focus, you know, because of focusing on the goals and not just having them, you know, in the air, and focusing on them, creating a plan, and beginning to check stuff off. I am I'm a list person, and I take great pleasure in checking stuff off of my list. So when I started to see things starting to get checked off my list, I was like, hey, this works. So we can work this as a family.
I think you said earlier that initially, you know, again, I'm relating personally. Initially, yeah, okay, let's go ahead and do this. Initially, stop, right? And you're probably just kind of acquiescing and placating. But then, oh, this is really working personally. So let me go ahead and poke all in. What was that moment?
Well, for me, like she said, she's a list person. I am the ultimate list person. Right now, I have my book right here. And I love reading and I love self-help books, but I never put the two together. Like, I have read so many self-help books, and it wasn't until she started to explain how they correlate, and I said, okay. All right, and so with this chapter that we're discussing, desire, and how it has where you, you know, set the date, you put the specific goal, you say what you want to give in exchange, and I said, okay, you know, let me give this a try and see how it goes. And when I saw more things were happening than usual, I said, okay, this is good. And even now I see, like, my children. My daughters are 5 and 4, and they see me walk around with my book, and I'm writing, and my vision board, and listening to my audios, and now they're doing the same thing. My daughter, last summer, grabbed the calendar, pulled it down, she flipped to December, and she said, Mommy, I want a winter like this, a real winter. She said, you can get a real winter like this. She's showing me snow. We're in the Bahamas. She said a real winter and a 50-day holiday, which is a first-class vacation. And I said,
$1,000 to him. He wants to write this down. She said, I need you to remind me every day that I have to read. So what I saw that she was putting the steps into action, I said, well, what? This vacation has happened. And God had already knew the steps, how it was going to happen. And at that time, I didn't see it was possible. Long story short, this is her 50-day holiday next week with him. Will make her 50 days that she has been on holiday. And if it wasn't for us, I wouldn't be able to leave my home for 50 days during the busy time of the year so that she could fulfill her goals.
Oh, my gosh.
Also, one more thing. The winter that she wanted,
she had it.
With snow.
Yes, she did.
And this is going to ask the question, so tell us, where did she go?
She went to Arkansas. She just came to Miami from Arkansas on Thursday. So, yes, she had a snow. She made a snow angel. She had a snow fight. She did exactly what she wanted to do when she took that calendar off the wall and slipped it to that picture of a snowy winter.
But now, but that's, hold on a second. I want to just make sure we all understand the impact of one person's soul on the lives of everybody else, regardless of the age. And this is one of the reasons why we are strongly, when I say strongly, I mean every week we come on the show, we have this conversation. We are strongly encouraging everybody. You can go to Google, Stephen Covey, one of our favorite his best is 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families. Seven habits, highly effective family to be the best that you can be for your family and understanding how to create a family mission statement. Everybody, regardless of their age, everybody, regardless of their age. Now, here you tell me the story, so it's 4 or 5, you know that her mom was 5, so when she made the goal, 5 years old. And she was 5 when she set the goal. Her goal blessed Quincy and his family because instead of him coming south, now she drew everybody towards him. And even Kitty's employer has allowed her to work virtually in spite of COVID. So Quincy's story, she's been out now. This is my first time seeing her in a mall. So it is. Okay, but anyway, another show. So I just want to just make sure we all understand the power of a family mission statement, and it abuses us plenty. Everybody has one time of year.
Yes, they.
Who do you want your family's name generations from now to be known as? Four or five generations. Because now the Wafami family mastermind can say, thank God we listened to a five-year-old and had a desire. That was her goal.
Yeah.
And the family made it happen. And we worked 8, 10, 12 hours a day away from our family, supposedly for the family. Some of us, we look up and that child who was a minor, now we're looking up at them and they're looking down at us. And we're wondering, when did that happen? And so when you are focused as a family, and I'm speaking from personal experience, it's not going to always be perfect, but our family, we're going in the same direction at the same time.
Right.
Not always perfect, but we know where home is. And so I really want to just encourage every single one of our listeners, please challenge yourself. I'm not really big on New Year's resolutions and things like that. I think you make it every single day by working on yourself. And by working on yourself, that's what Kendi is an example of. She worked on herself first. And then the family, like a magnet, because they are family, was drawn to her desire. Galen, I'll turn this back over to you, and I want to thank all of our hosts and our masterminders and all of the guests that join us week after week after week. We are going to continue to challenge you as masterminders this year, every single week, to come back and share. And hopefully we have some questions in the chat for the Wafami family before we wrap up. Thank you.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we talked about a little bit was this idea of challenging and having a place that you can go to where you got like-minded people, people who know you, and maybe even some people who don't, challenge you on what you say is important, not about what I say is important. It's about what you say is important. And one of my first exposures to this level of accountability was the annual meeting. And so I just, again, this is a place where you come to where you put your life, you put your life's intentions in writing, and then you give account for what you've done with those intentions over the past 364 days. And this annual meeting is coming up January 8th and 9th in Boca Raton, Florida. I think we still have time for you to make plans to get there. If you're there locally in Florida, anywhere near Boca Raton, you literally have no excuses. I am in St. Louis, Missouri, and I've already made plans to go. My family, my brother has made plans to go, and he's coming into Pennsylvania. This is absolutely a place where you'd want to go. And the work that goes into preparing for this annual meeting is really the benefit. And that work is listing your life, listing your accomplishments, listing your objectives in those 10 areas that you heard Ms. Ann talk about earlier. So what are your goals? Specifically, what are your goals in those 10 areas? And then reflect back on what were your accomplishments? What were your accomplishments over the past year? And just speaking for me personally, it's easy for me to focus on the last 30 days and let that reflection of the last 30 days set my attitude for anything that I might be trying to do over the next couple of weeks. But when I look back over my past year and think about, wow, yeah, you know, goal was accomplished in January, this goal was accomplished in February, it creates a momentum, it creates an anticipation. What else can I set intention for? What else can I create a burning desire? So that is part of the work that you have to put into coming in. As a matter of fact, Ms. Ann will leave a let you in the door if you haven't done that kind of pre-planning. Where are you planning to set the intention? Like, what comes down the intention? Work.
you may achieve the goal and the plan may not go exactly how you planned it, but you will still get to your goal. You may get there even quicker. It may even take longer, but you don't know exactly from the outside forces what's going to happen. Like Design just mentioned, 1979, she wanted $1,000 to save $1,000. Somebody may have showed up the next day and said, here's $1,000. You don't know. You got a plan, like, oh, it'll take me 6 months or whatever, but you don't know what could happen. So don't get discouraged if it takes longer and things doesn't go the way you expected it, because it could happen instantly. But I can be reached at Quincy@soundmindit.com, SoundmindIT.com, at SoundmindIT on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Fantastic. And Denise, let's go to you. Would love to hear any key ahas that you've gotten from this conversation, and then how can people get a hold of you if they want to take advantage of any projects that you're working on right now?
So I want to also comment on something that Madan said when she mentioned that she had to allow Kimby the time to work from home in Arkansas. And that really made me realize how many moving parts and how many persons were involved in helping Zaire achieve her goals, because she came up with the goal, and I, as the mother who she came to assist her, I'm thinking, okay, yes, I went to God, and it's us, and then I had to go to her father, and it's so many, because it was 12 of us in Arkansas, and I was just 12 of us there, and so many persons have to be in agreement. I have my mother-in-law and my assistant at home, keeping the business going while I'm over here. So it's so many moving parts. And once you have a desire, like Ms. Ann said, everyone is drawn in to help assist with that desire once you follow the steps. So I can be reached at Caribe Cuisine, and that is CaribeCuisine at gmail.com. Thank you all. Appreciate being on the show today.
All right. So, and Kendi, would love to hear, you heard from your brother and your sister about the impact of your burning desire. Would love to hear any key ahas that you got from this conversation, as well as how can people get a hold of you if they would love to have a touch of what you've sprinkled onto the rest of your family.
Actually, the aha that I had was when I sat down and we started, I didn't really realize before we're talking about desire and not realizing how my burning desire for a family mastermind group fit right in with the topic. And so we sat down and I was like, oh, yeah. So that was my aha. It was like this burning desire that I had really started the whole, this whole, you know, family mastermind group and everything that happened since we started it. Like I said before, I am an author. I currently have a title out. It's behind me right there. Only One Night I Write Christian Fiction. It's available on Amazon. So you can go to Amazon.com if you want to connect with me. You can find me on Instagram, Queen Kendi Ward, or Facebook, Author Kendi Ward, or Twitter, Author Kendi Ward. Oh, and you can email me at
kendi@kendiboard.com. Well, fantastic. Well, thank you. This has been an incredible conversation. I have certainly enjoyed getting to know your entire family, but seeing how they have each individually and collectively benefited from this mastermind process. And, as was mentioned earlier, my family is in Arkansas, and I remember getting a call from my mother on Christmas saying, wow, aren't you guys enjoying the snow? And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's not snowing here. She goes, yeah, it's snowing here in Arkansas. It's just a beautiful thing. Well, come to find out, I've got your niece and daughter to thank for that. So, and for me, so the aha is how it really does come down to having a burning desire. It's not about wishing. It's not about wanting. It's not about hoping. It's about putting in the work to turn those wishes and hopes into a burning desire. You know, you're the little one in your family, she could have just said, boy, I hope we have a winter Christmas. I wish we could have a 50-day vacation. She could have done that. But once she started making plans, pulling out the calendar, talking to the folks that could influence this city from her perspective, once you start making the commitment to, okay, you say, I've got to do my ABCs, I've got to do my homework, I'm going to make sure that I do that. Once you started building in accountability, saying, hey, look, I want you to make sure that I'm doing that. And then we got another future masterminder joining the show there. But once you started putting in the work, that's what created this burning desire. And if I can step into the metaphysical very quickly, that's what told me first that he was here. But this wasn't just I would challenge all of our listeners to do the same thing. Don't just wish and hope, but send the signal to the universe to be serious about this thing. Because once you send the universe that message that you're serious, it's going to conspire to make this thing happen. But it's not going to waste time, right? It's not going to waste time. You've got to demonstrate that this is something that you really want, that everything else starts getting out of your way and start aligning to that happen. One last story I'll share with you. I don't know if people are familiar with it's called Clinton, where the planet aligned to show one particular bright star, and it actually happens out of Saturn. Venus and Jupiter aligned, and that was something that a lot of really, really smart people that were into the planets and things that all came out of the side and started doing weird things that kind of stuff. And I kind of found myself laughing at that initially. Until I started thinking that, oh my goodness, I serve a God that would align the planet to around setting up my camera to watch that happen. And if he is willing to align the planet, oh my God, he can align the thing that will allow you to guide us through. But you've got to just go to the spirit. Got to just. My name is Galen Bingham. I'm the leadership strategist. I'm a certified executive coach. Credential with the International Coach Federation. If you want to get a hold of me, one of the best ways to get a hold of me is go to galenbingham.com. Definitely reach out. I've just released a brand new podcast called Whiskey Dad Leadership, which is available anywhere you can stream a podcast. Please check it out. Download, subscribe, give us an honest review. We've got over 600 downloads on the 6th episode, so please keep in touch. Still with you to subscribe to everybody. This has been a great conversation, and fair warning to my family that I'm going to speak to everybody personally. So with that, until next time, hoping you will join us each Saturday morning at 8 a.m. When we talk about individual elements